Jesus tries to save Pilate. Jesus did not leave Pilate without further light. He gave him to understand that he was not seeking an earthly throne. "My kingdom is not of this world," he said. "If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Christ desired Pilate to understand that only by receiving and appropriating truth could his ruined nature be reconstructed. Pilate's mind was confused. His heart was stirred with a great longing to know what the truth really was and how he could obtain it. "What is truth?" he inquired. But he did not wait for an answer. The priests were clamorous for immediate action. Going out to the Jews, he declared emphatically, "I find in him no fault at all." As the priests and elders heard this from Pilate, their disappointment and rage knew no bounds. As they saw the prospect of the release of Jesus, they seemed ready to tear him in pieces. They loudly denounced Pilate, and threatened him with the censure of the Roman government. They accused him of refusing to condemn Jesus who, they affirmed, had set himself up against Caesar. Angry voices declared that the seditious influence of Jesus was well known throughout the country. "He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place." Pilate at this time had no thought of condemning Jesus. He knew that the Jews had accused him through hatred and prejudice. Justice demanded that Christ should be released. But should he refuse to give Jesus into the hands of the people, a tumult would be raised, and this he feared to meet. When he heard that Christ was from Galilee, he decided to send him to Herod, the ruler of that province, who was then in Jerusalem. By this course, Pilate thought to shift the responsibility to Herod. He also thought this a good opportunity to heal an old quarrel between himself and Herod. And so it proved. The two magistrates made friends over the trial of the Savior. Amid the insults of the mob, Jesus was hurried to Herod. When Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad. He had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. This Herod was he whose hands were stained with the blood of John the Baptist. When Herod first heard of Jesus, he was terror-stricken, and said, "It is John, risen from the dead." Yet he desired to see Jesus. Now there was opportunity to save the life of this prophet, and the king hoped to banish forever from his mind the memory of that bloody head brought to him in a charger. He also desired to have his curiosity satisfied and thought that if Christ were given a prospect of release, he would do anything that was asked of him. When the Savior was brought in, the priests and elders excitedly urged their accusations against him. But Herod commanded silence. He ordered that the fetters of Christ should be unloosed, at the same time charging his enemies with roughly treating him. He as well as Pilate was satisfied that Christ had been accused through malice and envy. Herod questioned Christ in many words, but the Savior maintained a profound silence. At the command of the king, the decrepit and maimed were then called in, and Christ was ordered to prove his claim by working a miracle. Jesus did not respond, and Herod continued to urge, "Show us a sign that thou hast the power with which rumor has credited thee." But the Son of God had taken upon himself man's nature, and he must do as man must do in like circumstances. Therefore, he would not work a miracle to save himself the pain and humiliation that man must endure in a similar position. Herod promised that if Christ would perform some miracle, he should be released. Fear seized Christ's accusers lest he should now work a miracle. Such a manifestation would prove a death blow to their plans and would perhaps cost them their lives. Raising their voices, the priests and rulers declared, "He is a traitor, a blasphemer. He works his miracles through the powers of the prince of the devils." Herod's conscience was now far less sensitive than when he had trembled with horror at the request of Herodias for the head of John the Baptist. His moral perceptions had become more and more degraded by his licentious life. He could even boast of the punishment he had inflicted on John for daring to reprove him. And he now threatened Jesus, declaring that he had power to condemn him. But no sign from Jesus gave evidence that he heard a word. Herod was irritated by this silence. It seemed to indicate utter indifference to his authority. Again he angrily threatened Jesus, who still remained unmoved and silent. The mission of Christ was not to gratify idle curiosity. Could he have spoken any word to heal sin-sick souls, he would not have kept silent. But he had no words for those who trample truth under their unholy feet. Herod had rejected the truth spoken to him by the greatest of the prophets, and no other message was he to receive. Not a word had the majesty of heaven for him. Those lips were closed to the haughty king who felt no need of a savior. Herod's face grew dark with passion. He angrily denounced Jesus as an impostor. Then to Christ he said, "If you will give no evidence of your claim, I will deliver you up to the soldiers and the people. If you are an impostor, death is what you merit. If you are the Son of God, save yourself by working a miracle." No sooner were these words spoken than, like wild beasts, the crowd darted upon their prey. Jesus was dragged this way and that, Herod joining the mob and seeking to humiliate the Son of God. Had not the Roman soldiers interposed, the Savior would have been torn in pieces. Herod with his men of war set him at naught, and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe. The Roman soldiers joined in this abuse. All that these corrupt soldiers and the Jewish dignitaries could instigate was heaped upon the Savior. Yet his patience failed not.